for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory Declaring the Kingdom, write Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday evening, December the 27th, 2004. Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Ronnie Bejou of Brobridge, Louisiana, is the minister on this tape. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
How many of you have ever been fishing? It's an amazing thing, no matter the size of the fish, especially if you've ever taken your grandkids fishing like me, everything they catch is a keeper. I touched on the subject of God was changing our atmosphere the last time I was here. And on the last night that I spoke, actually paraphrased on the four winds of God and how God is moving in our lives, and we need to be in touch with prophetic tone and prophetic language of what God is saying to us. And I was really hoping to come in here tonight and sit down and have a meal, and the general summons me to minister. So I've been listening to the voice of the Lord, and I know that I will get an opportunity to minister to you this week, because I came here to give you a prophetic word that I believe is going to change everything about you and your church culture. I believe that the Lord is going to bring us in a level next year that will help us to understand what compound anointing is all about. And like Howard Pittman, my brother back there, I'm not going to tell you what it's about till you show up. But tonight I was just reminiscing about the good things that God has done for us in 2004. How many of you be excited about being here tonight? And can you imagine it snowing in Houston and Pasadena? You think those people are wild, you ought to move to South Louisiana when it snows. I think Boudreaux would even go out there and try to build a sled. And we think when three or four flakes fall, I mean, it has to be God. People outside and video cameras, riding in the back of pickup truck, just want to take videos of this wonderful flaky stuff that falls on the ground. But nonetheless, I believe we have something to share with you tonight. If you turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 21, God is changing the way we think and the way we do things. How many of you are happy with the same old, every time you gather together? And how many of you are just sick and tired of religion? Am I talking to the right people tonight? How many of you are just absolutely sick and tired of religion and formalism and ritualism and every other ism that hit the body of Christ? How many of you are absolutely tired to get into a facility and people are just worshiping God with their lips, would never surrender their hearts to God? And God said, I have something better in store for you. I want to take you to another level, but you won't absolutely leave up from the earthly realm, because you are also bound up with Babylonian rhetoric. Amen. We're confused in the body of Christ. You know, we're not supposed to be. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. How many of you know the mind of Christ is not like a baseball cap? That's something you just slip on your head when you feel like getting anointed. The mind of Christ is the anointed mind. It's to have the capacity and the ability to think like a divine God. Not to think with our little finite minds. Hallelujah. How many of you are in John 21? Say amen. Amen. I want to talk to you for just a few moments tonight, and I hate to say it like that, because a few moments for me could be a couple of hours. I had a little 10-year-old run up to me in Ohio. He says, "Preacher, do you ever have any any short messages?" I said, "No, son, I don't have any short messages." He says, "How come?" I said, "God never talks to me on short terms." many of you are in here for the duration? How many of you are believing that 2005, there are greater things in store than what we've had in 2004? I thank God for the fullness of 2004, but I believe God is going to take us to another level in 2005. And some of you have been dead to the core. God is going to raise you up, and you're going to begin to come alive in the things of God. And you're going to begin to do what God put in you to do. And you're not just going to sit in a pew and smell like a pew. You're going to begin to stand up and stand up for something, because if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. I wish y'all could stand up in here. Is this the first church of the dead? I think my people are glad when I come so I can unload on you. So I don't unload everything on them. Hallelujah. I think I brought some notes. I don't know. Where am I? All right. Let's talk about the right place, but the wrong time. Mm-hmm. How many have you ever been in a situation when you thought you were there at the right place, but it was the wrong time? Amen. I got a few witnesses in here tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to start stomping my feet and spitting on a few of y'all, see if y'all can get y'all anointed. Now, Jesus, in chapter 21 of John, now notice when he says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. How many of you believe tonight that Jesus has the ability, the word there, to reveal himself to us? How many of you know that he has the capacity to make himself known in the abode? How many of you know that it is the Father's good pleasure to reveal his Son in us? And how many of you know there's more than one type of son in the Bible? There's the Son of Righteousness, but then there's the pious son. There's that religious son. But God comes to us, and Jesus opens up everything, and he reveals himself to us. And I want you to notice where Jesus shows up in this scripture to reveal himself to his disciples. And it was not the first time. It talks about Tiberius of Caesar, a Roman emperor. Isn't it just like Jesus to take the boys on a fishing expedition and to stand at the bow of the ship and refute and rebuke every other god that stands before him? Now, I don't know about you, but in South Louisiana, if Jesus stood on the bow of my pirogue, he would have my full attention. Hallelujah! If you don't know what a pirogue is, it's somewhat like your canoes, only made differently. And it's generally a one-man operation. You can't have two people paddling at the same time. Hallelujah! Y'all going to help me get comfortable? Jesus had come out of the city of Galilee, and Galilee speaks to us a full circle. There are some of you here tonight that God has been dealing with your hearts to bring you full circle. And if you don't understand what full circle is, see me after service. When I was beating myself up in the hills of Missouri and Arkansas and in Ohio and in Kentucky and in Tennessee and all these places that God sent me, and God kept telling me, I want to take you back full circle. And all I could absolutely do in the ministry on the highway was go around in circles and never seem to accomplish anything for God. I thought I was on a fishing expedition for the Lord. But you can be fishing, dear saints of God, in the wrong lake and in the wrong time and the wrong seasons of your life. Come on, somebody help me tonight. Jesus wants to take us to a place in Him that we have never, ever been before. And He wants us to know that He wants to be absolutely, positively, unequivocally in charge of everything that goes on in the ship. How many of you know that your ship, you are a vessel of righteousness, and God wants to take you to a place that you've never been before? I'm telling you tonight, I might even prophesy to a few of you, so don't get nervous. There's some of you sitting in this room that God is raising right now, like He did for me. He's raising you to be missionaries to America. It is time for us to begin to concentrate on the homeland. God is birthing within us a missionary focus, but missionaries for America. If we don't rise up, child of God, this country, as we know it, will go to pot.
Amen.
And it's not up to the President and the White House. It is up to us who will rule and reign with Christ Jesus,
Amen.
Not in some sweet by-and-by, but the right here and now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's awfully warm in here. Jesus knows how to use the right bait. I want you to think for just a moment before we get in the heart of the message tonight. How many times did He try to reel you in? Hello? Is anybody in here? And in the church system as we know it, we have tried every mechanism known to mankind to how to catch fish. 10 ways to be a soul winner. Find that in the Bible. 4-day camp meeting. Becoming excellent fishers of men. How to excel beyond your wildest dreams. No. How to let go and let a kingdom principle, Jesus, rise from within us and absolutely, child of God, captivate us and bring us in an arena on a dirty, sinking ship and stand on the bow of the ship and say, "Here I am. Whatsoever you are hungry for, come and eat." But if it doesn't fit our doctrines, some of you tonight, I'm going to blow your theology because some of your doctrines will not fit what I say to you. And some of your theology will not fit, so you will not receive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying because you will shut yourself off. Because you'd rather protect your doctrine and you'd rather protect your theology and whatever other ideology is terrible in the church. I didn't come here to tell you how terrible you are. I come to tell you that God wants to take us on a fishing expedition and He wants you to clean up the mess. Because we made it. Because we didn't let Him lead us. We led Him. And now, according to the prophets, He said He'd been sitting down long enough. Now He's going to stand up. And I tell you, when Jesus stands up, whether it be on the bow of your ship or not, He has something to say to us. And we better be all ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Earthquakes, a natural earthquake, is a sign of what God's fixing to do to the church as we have known it for the last 2,000 years. He's going to shake it and bake it for everything that they thought it was worth. And everything that will come out of the oven of His fire shall be purified and will come out as pure gold. And the silver that will be formed will be of redemption of God. And that which will stand and remain shall see Him in His coming, when He will come through the cloud of His glory to make His abode on the earth. And those that are looking for Him will receive Him. And the dead in the church shall rise first. Not the dead in the grave.
Amen.
What kind of dumb theology is that?
Amen.
Dead people don't talk. Spiritually dead people have somewhat to say. They just cannot let go. Because they've been ingrained with Babylonian confusion for over 2,000 years. Who cares how Grandpa did it? Who cares if Grandma bought one pew? Who cares how much money your daddy gave to the church last year? if you've got a brick with your name engraved on it. Whoop-de-doo. All I care about, and I hope that you care the same way, that when He comes to the earth, when He comes and He stands on the bow of my ship, on this vessel, that this vessel will be found to be a vessel of pureness and of holiness unto the Lord. And when He has said everything to me, I want Him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You are faithful sometimes to go to Lake Hamilton and preach? No! Faithful in everything that God commissioned me to do. You know, next year we have the ability to start 3 more churches. And then a lot of times says, well, what are y'all doing? I said, nothing. Obeying God. Obeying the Holy Ghost. Folks, I am not against Christian education. But just because you have a degree does not make you anointed.
Amen.
And because you don't have one doesn't make you unanointed.
Amen.
God either anointed you or you're the most annoying thing on your block.
Amen.
Y'all better get comfortable, so, because I'm going to preach real hard if you don't.
Amen.
I believe I have a drink on that. Somebody said hallelujah. Can I get an amen on the left side? Hallelujah. Can I get an amen on the right side? Can I get a witness in the house? Can I feel a little expression of the Holy Ghost? Don't mind if I get a little Pentecostal in here tonight. Hey! I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Well, brother, I'm just not an emotional type. No, that's why you're twice dead and plucked up.
Amen.
I used to think, what's wrong with these people jumping and running on top of pews and never miss a lick? Yelling to the top of their lungs? Don't they know that I'm the most quiet, reserved kind of religious demon?
Come on.
Religious spirits hate noise.
Yeah.
I said religious demons hate noise. Especially when you praise God. How many of you were here in Thanksgiving when, and Prophet Ron Johnson was giving that illustration by clapping your hands? Man, I all of a sudden the Holy Ghost took me in the spirit. I saw demons being expelled. I saw fear leave me. Hey! Hey!
Amen.
I can confess my fault. What's the matter with you?
Hey,
brother, preachers are supposed to be perfect. What verse? Well, hello. Then verse 2, well, we're moving on tonight. There were together Simon, Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and 2 of his disciples. Can I get a witness in here tonight? 2 means the number of witness. Simon, Peter, hallelujah, said it to him, I go fishing. My God, they said it to him, we also go with you. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and the night they caught nothing. How many of you know, if you start leading, some folks might even follow you. They don't know where you're going, but they want to follow something.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
You get a new name on the horizon. Now please, I do not have a critical spirit, and I'm not making fun. It's a point of illustration. But people are being taken in the arena of church today with identity crisis.
Yes.
Sister Motormount and Brother Kate preach himself out of a bucket. Got himself a doctorate degree. And so they moved to town. And they put him all over the billboard. And folks from every church and every denomination gather up and leave in worse shape than when they went in. Somebody help me. I'm just a country boy. Something's wrong with that picture. I don't believe they've been riding in the same boat as you and I have been riding. I don't believe Jesus is on the bow of their ship trying to direct them in the way of the Holy Ghost. In simple layman terms, what I want to tell you, Jesus wants by the Holy Ghost to orchestrate every service if you will let Him. But in our little finite minds, we've decided, well, I'm a man of integrity. I'm degreed. I'm intelligent, aren't I? And so we try to impress people with knowledge. I literally saw people. Oh, I'm going to get real spooky now, Brother Chris. I really saw people tonight in the Spirit while I was weeping before the Lord, literally walking on water. Everybody go, ooh. if the ship left the harbor without you, and there are no other ships, the only way to get to where he is to leave where you are. And the only thing that stands between you and he is water. You know that over 90% of ministers across America do not believe that Peter literally walked on water? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
But that was not the most amazing thing to me. It could have been sheer coincidence. You believe in coincidental things? It could have been a wind strong enough to pick him up. He could tiptoe on top of the water. It could have been a spirit. Because they didn't know who he was. They yell up, "Is that you, Jesus?" The most interesting thing to me was, after he fell, he got him up. And after that, in just a few little moments after that, they walked together to the ship. It wasn't a freak accident. And that, my friend, is not just walking on H2O. It's walking in the integrity of the Word of God that abides in you. It won't ever do you good up here. But when it abides in you, you can walk on it. Wherever he says to go, you can go with it. The interesting thing about the missionaries, you hear other prophets prophesy about, the interesting thing about missionaries in America, they won't have any support from the churches. They're going to be self-sufficient.
We won't be able to take any missionary offerings next Sunday. Because Brother Ronnie said God was raising up a new batch. That is not what I said.
And if you're supporting missionaries, you better keep supporting them because they need your help. And if you don't think they need your help, you ought to go try it. Beanie weenies might sound real good after you ward off all the flies and the worms and the maggots. So the first thing we see Jesus doing, in the right place at the wrong time, first appearance is on the shore. I call it breakfast time. Let's keep reading. But when the morning was now come, in verse 4, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. I have to ask the question. Do we know what we're following? If Jesus walked in here tonight, he may be sitting right here. Would you know him? Well, what's the thought behind that? Well, the Bible says when we see him, we ought to know him because we're going to look just like him. Right? Oh, y'all don't want to help me, please. And so the first appearance he makes is on the shore. And this is what I'm saying to you. Some of the greatest ships have never left harbor yet. And I'm prophesying to some of you tonight. Some of you have been in the back burner long enough. You're going to begin to come to the forefront of what God is saying to you. You're going to stop putting up all these silly, willy little thoughts you have and notice nobody believes you can do anything. God said, I've got my eye on you and you're coming up.
Hallelujah.
Well, brother, I didn't go to Bible college. Good for you.
Amen.
Got one we fixing to start, but I just can't seem to find the right curriculum.
Brother
said, "Brother, do you have a doctorate degree?" I said, "Yes, I do, brother. I praise him daily."
Amen.
And that's about as much as I want. Now, if he tells me to get one, I get one, for whatever reason. But that doesn't make me anointed.
Amen.
And doesn't make me special. Now, obviously, if Jesus had to meet them and make an appearance on the shore, the first thing I think, child of God, that we have to do is to make quality decisions. Who are we going to follow? You know, Brother Chris called me and said, "Well, Brother Ryan, I want you to come to Pasadena. We're going to go fishing next Wednesday afternoon." And I said, "That's fine." And I get to the harbor, and Brother Chris is already going ahead of me. Who do I follow? He's already gone.
I'm supposed to know the way. I don't have a map, and I've never been in the bay before. What are my chances? Pretty slim. Now, if my brother waits for me at harbor, and he teaches me by example, we're going to get in the boat, we're going to go fishing. Guess what? We're going to catch fish. Something wrong. The battery may be getting weak.
It's about that time when you thought you've made a quality decision to follow somebody that knows a little bit of something called good leadership. Peter comes up with a great idea and says, I think I'm going to go fishing. Hello? Hello? Now, I'm doing a lot of paraphrasing tonight. The first time that Nehemiah appears to the walls in Jerusalem, the Bible says, when he looked at all the rubbish, there were only a few men standing with him. How many of you know that Jesus is looking for a few good men? Amen. But if you travel according to Nehemiah's life, as he begins to talk about restoring the walls, in chapter 8, he said they stood there as one. Hello? One man. Now I'm going to use this title tonight and I'm going to do a little meddling. Here's what's going to happen. When the gates were burning, that means that the leadership was burned out. Because this is where the elders meet. This is where they had public display. This is where they carried all the generalities of life. And the women had tremendous respect for their elders or their husband who stood at the gate of the city. But here, Nehemiah had come to a place in his life where leadership had been destroyed, lay people had been destroyed, the walls speak of people that had been destroyed. And I believe, child of God, in the hour that we're living, that God is restoring people and He's beginning to build people that will make up the church. And as they make up the church, God is beginning to restore and replenish the leadership of the church, that they will come into another arena and come full circle. And they will not stand with all these identities, but they will stand as one new man. You realize how much time we take in a church service to recognize someone in their gifts and their calling? The Bible says that your gift makes room for you. We don't need to have long introductions. Amen. Folks, we are what we are by the grace of God. I'm privileged to stand here as an ambassador of Christ to even be used to begin to acclimate the words of God. If it was not for Christ in me, I couldn't do it. Hallelujah. At the appearance of the shore, Jesus begins to look up the leadership. And this is deep. Leaders lead. Where's Brother Ron? Brother, lay off on the beef, some that had too much meat. That's what it is. Leadership has the ability from God to lead others. When we follow good leadership, we get the blessings that's bestowed upon the leadership. Are you with me? Do you realize tonight that we can never lead unless we learn how to follow? I just can't. 30 years ago, when I got my first opportunity to minister, I had an itch so bad you thought I had poison ivy. And every church I went, I had to overcome rejection because I thought surely the preacher would recognize me and I needed to get up there and say something for God. How many of you are in the same boat that I was 30 years ago? You just have such an itch, you got to say something for God. But let me tell you something, folks. If you just scratch your ears just a little bit while and continue to follow in the way that He's leading you, your season and timings will come that you can come to the forefront for God. And then maybe when you get to the forefront, you might not think it's so glamorous. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to be real tonight. Come on, help me, Holy Ghost. I'm just trying to be real tonight. Because you see, we go on these little fishing expeditions and we think everybody we win to the Lord is ours to keep. I don't care if it's a 3-ounce minnow. Oh, Gee, he's got potential. Yes, if you let him, go put him back in the water and feed him, he has a lot of potential. But he's not a mackerel. Hallelujah. He has the possibility. He has the two P's of success, potential and possibility. But until he's come to a place of maturity, he will never leave the docks. God never anoints stupidity. I must have the wrong message. We can fish here all night. It's the right lake, but it's the wrong season. Oh, no. Does God have wrong seasons? Hello? Isn't it amazing? Every year, sister, we have four seasons in this continent. Spring, summer, fall, and winter. In the spring of our season, God appears. Karam! That little sprout begins to come through the mighty side. And then branches come out. Sun begins to beat down on it. Rain comes to try that seed. How many of you here at camp meeting, I said a little bit about this. And then all of a sudden, bloom. I'm looking good, y'all. I'm blooming, baby. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I had a word of prophecy. Thus said the Lord. Bloom. But the winds came. Some of them were contrary to the way I believed. And they blew on my bloom. And I ain't blooming anymore. I got to start all over. Wrong. The word comes to me and says, be of good cheer, son. I've overcome the world. What you crying about, you and your little bloom? But God, it's springtime. It's time for me to come to the forefront. I'm anointed. Got a good one. You know, seasons change drastically in our lives. And then summer comes. And oh, how we feel the heat and the intensity of God. We go through seasons where we're so hot for God. We're on fire for God. Everything the preacher says, glory to God, preach it, brother. Hallelujah. That's right, say it again. Glory to God. I'm a witness. Hallelujah. Shandala Makaya. Are we on fire for God? But the temperature and the climate begins to change around us so drastically. Now we no longer have blooms. We've got fruits hanging. And it's getting weighty. See, the glory of God begins to be very weighty at times. And the only way you can stand the weight and the glory of God is if your roots are planted deep. And then the wolves come. And every wind of doctrine come to try the fruit to see that it was really from God or not. Then we go to another change and fall comes on us and it comes quickly. So all that was beautiful in the spring and the sprout and the blooms and now the fruit, they're all been picked. The harvest has come. We're going to another season. Fall is here. And sometimes in our fishing expeditions, we fail miserably. Am I helping somebody here tonight? The purpose is not how many times you fail. It's how many times you get up. And we want to quit God. We're not shining anymore. We're not in the forefront. We're out in midst of the season where nobody's paying any mind to us anymore. And you begin to look at the bow of your ship and say, Jesus! Jesus, is that you? Are you out there, Jesus? And the principle is what goes down has to come up. Because out of death proceeded life. And the analogy of the wheat is, unless the corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But sometimes in our planting, we have false wheats that grow up around us. They're called darnels. They're called tares in the Bible. And the only way that the church can tell what's the real from the false, you have to peel back that first layer on that wheat. I used to be an inspector. And the only way you can detect what's good wheat to see that if that germ seed inside that wheat is sick or it's full of life. And you can put wheat and tare, darnel, side by side, and you can't tell them apart unless you begin to peel back the layers like an onion. And this is what God's doing to some of us. He's peeling us back like onions. And if you tell the truth, and I know you will, you don't like it. And the amazing thing about the onions, Brother Clement, every layer you peel back is a layer of truth. But it'll make you cry. It'll make you laugh. But it's good for eating. Hallelujah. Well, time's still good. Y'all are listening up real good. In the appearance of the shore, the next thing we see developing, that God's purpose for appearance is for our preparation. He comes on to the shore of your life and says, "Sister, are you an Ephesians 6 Christian?" And you say, "Well, what in the world is an Ephesians 6? Do you have your armor on? Or do you sleep next to your armor?" Some of you need to be told that when you've been inducted in the army of God, you're supposed to sleep with your armor. You're supposed to eat with it. You're supposed to even take a bath with it. If you get caught without it, you might be caught dead. In 1966 in Southeast Asia, Vietnam, we went through 6 months of monsoon season, and we were issued each a little pack when we got there, and one of them was these little blow-up mattresses that you could lay on. You know, Brother Chris, and I got to lay on mine for about 3 weeks, and it was wonderful, especially out in the jungle. But we were in a ravine sort one night, and a monsoon rain began to sweep into that valley, and I was laying on top of the mattress, and I floated away about 3 miles, and I woke up. I was hugging my mat. My rifle was 3 miles upriver. My bayonet, my grenades, and everything I owned was 3 miles up that river. But I had asked my mom, I said, "Mom, I know it's not military issued, but would you send me my little 25 automatic Beretta?" And so my mother stuffed it in a fruitcake. Wrapped it with foil, Brother Glenn. God's my witness. And I had that little Beretta, Brother Clement, in my pocket. And just about the time I rolled off that raft, I hit that cold water and I felt Beretta just sliding up in my pocket. I said, "Oh, my God." And here comes Charlie, the enemy. Whew. There goes my little raft. And I'm sitting on the bottom. Got me a little straw. I've been watching Jungle Jim and Tarzan, see. I learned how to suck them out of them little weeds. And I could see the enemy. And hoping that I didn't have my eyes open too wide. And I had her cocked back. I had 9 shots. I said, "Jesus, if they get any closer, I'm going to give it my due." But you know what? It may not always work like that. This is why the Bible encourages us to put on the whole armor of God. And you know that every part of the army of God must be tried and proven. We think we can come to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and have a 4-day seminar and go back victorious, cast every demon out of all the universe. You're wrong. And while I'm on the note, if you think that you may not have a demon, I want you to write on your piece of paper how many times you checked that you got mad at something I said tonight, or upset, or didn't agree with your doctrine, or didn't agree with your theology. And see Doc after service. Or come see Doc and Dr. Jesus at 6 o'clock. They'll take care of you and give you a good report. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, bless God, I'm having fun. I don't know about you. Jesus asked them in that time of preparation, said, "Children, do you have any meat?" I didn't get to go to the superstore. Or pay less. "Do you have any meat?" What is he talking about? Is it a time for Jesus to ask you, in the midst of your dilemma and your storm and your preparation, do you have meat? Would you begin to respond like Peter said, "Lord, you know I love you. You know I'll never forsake you." He was asking them, this is deep, how is your ministry going? Meat is spiritual meat. He says, the disciples said, "We're going to go to town, Jesus. We know you must be hungry. You've come from afar off." And then God, he fed all these people. "God, you must be hungry." He says, I have meat you know not of." What kind of meat does Jesus have that we don't know anything about? When we minister to the Father, everything we possibly need is fulfilled in that relationship to the Father. That intimacy provides ribeyes. Whatever you want. He was not asking them if they had natural food. He was asking them, "Are you prepared now to do the ministry? Are you prepared to minister to others like I have ministered unto you? I've only been with you for a short while on the ship. It's only been a 4-day seminar, but could you go minister? In the year 2005, God's going to put a lot of pastors in probation in the United States of America. And I'm not afraid to tell you, because I'm not a pastor. And if I was, I'd be shaken. Because the churches in America for 2,000 years have disqualified the people of God instead of qualifying them.
Amen.
We've tried to do methods, ritualism, formalisms. We've tried everything under the sun. And we have failed miserably, and we've got none. None that was the keeper. If I was to ask you tonight, one-on-one, how many disciples do you have? Well, I led 2-3 people to the Lord. I've been in the Lord 40 years. Wonderful. Let's work on the next 40. Should he tarry? And let's begin discipling people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you not sure what I'm saying? The wrong concept to answer Jesus when he asks you a question like that is, let the pastor do it. That's why we pay him. Well, this is camp meeting. I came here to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I think it's time for us to set up and shout unto God. Hey, I think I feel the Holy Ghost coming on just mighty fine tonight. I want to praise him. And you're going, I'm excited. It's the excellency of His Spirit.
Amen.
He's outlining the whole message. And here you are going,
come on, brother.
We think a whole lot more of hermeneutics than Jesus does.
Amen.
Now here's, we got a little more time right there. Point number 2, children. His arrival,
come on,
presents a different atmosphere.
For
those that were standing on the shore at afar off, listening to this here conversation, Jesus is on the bow of the ship, and he's denying all the Greek gods and Greek mythology. He is standing there defying the armies of darkness and says, I am the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I'm the God of all seas and God of humanity. Who is great as I am? And the disciples go, whoa. Sounds like somebody we want to follow. I want to know what Bible college he went to. Whoa, I want to enroll right now. Simple lesson in fishing. And he started on the shore before he got too deep. See, sometimes we get so far that we don't know if we can swim back. Hallelujah. Somebody wave at me if you believe I know what I'm talking about. Well, over in verse 6, he says, cast your net on the right side. When people lord over you and manipulate you and control you, they've had their stones removed. Let me clarify that for some of you that are not too deep. They've had prostate operation. They cannot produce anymore. That is a spiritual problem in the church.
Amen.
Because if pastors are anything, there need to be spiritual fathers. Pasadena ought to be filled with little Chris Simmons. Paul had the audacity to say, follow me as I follow Christ. And then he turned around and said, it's not just anybody's gospel, it's mine. And the next explosion is going to be in the mega churches. Simply because they do not produce babies. Do you know, Mama? Have you had children? How many? 6. It's a nasty job to clean dirty diapers, ain't it? But you love them little. It's messy, but somebody's got to do it, right? And so, we're going to do away with child care and daycare centers in the church. Simply because we want to build a multi-million billion, trillion dollar functioning operation, a beacon on the hill for everybody to see that we're the first church among the dead. And Jesus has Boudreaux riding with him in his P-Row, y'all. And everybody's coming around in the yachts. Nice yachts. I'm not talking little bitty yachts. Nice yachts. You can sleeping quarters. You can cook on them. And here's Jesus on the bow and Boudreaux's in the back paddling. Every stroke counts. It's like Hawaiian. Ho, 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 ho. And Jesus is standing there going, praise you, Father. Because by his grace, he says, Boudreaux said, Jesus, who lives in those houses? Jesus, you don't know who lives in? I thought this was the church, he says. But the inscription says, to the unknown God. They won't let me in there. But where are we going to go? Right down the bayou. We're going to build up the little building over there, and everybody's invited.
Amen.
And Boudreaux, if you let me teach you, I'll teach you how to catch fish. Now, if you argue with me like Peter, I'm going to let you toil all night until you have enough of you. Are you with me?
Come on.
How many of you are tired of wrestling with you?
Amen.
Then why don't you get on board and let Jesus teach you how to be a good fisherman? And realize in your fishing and all you're doing, not every one of your catch is a keeper. Hello? Are you in the house? So arrival presents a different atmosphere. He makes his presence known immediately. We have the ability to hear from God for ourselves. Cast thy net on the right side of the ship, and you shall... Well, I wish he would have preached something deep tonight. You're so deep already, you can't get out of where you are. This is the truth. If you could go to every church in America, you will find a different atmosphere in every one of them. And most of them do not have the presence of God in them. And then they read about us in the papers. We sue one another. Not in the courts of God, you don't. Not in the kingdom of God, you don't. If you read the principles in Ezekiel when the water was coming from underneath the threshold, you're going to find that God is raising in our midst another ministry of teachers that's going to be able to minister unto God out of the heavens. Not out of Bible college, and not out of seminary, and not out of man's wisdom. There are good things in what some of these forefathers have left, but not everything they've left. It is a new day. We're living in the present tense, not past tense. And we have no idea what tomorrow holds. So he tells the boys, if you fish on the right side, you'll get all the blessings. So you're going to have the war in your mind of what's right and what's wrong. Because Babylon has imprinted in religion things in our minds that have confused us. When Israel stood and looked at Moses, he could not speak to them without having the veil on. Because the people could not look at the face of Moses and see the glory of God and live. Because they were bound by law and letters and the legalists of the church. And my wife may touch on this week, the concision of the church, the mutilators who have raped them, and denominations which have just absolutely manipulated them and controlled them for 2,000 years and tell them that they will never measure up.
Amen.
Jesus never asked you to give up a degree, or he never asked you to give up your job, or never asked you anything but to follow him. Because on the left side of God is the judgment of God. I'm so glad he didn't tell them, cast your nets on the left side. I'm fixing to judge you. And he had to go through all that rhetoric. And we go before God. We have the world's greatest excuses. Not one that he's ever accepted.
Amen.
So when he makes his presence known, the atmosphere changes. What does that mean? We now find ourselves becoming totally dependent upon his ability and not ours. Is exposure good? Think about it. In the presence of God, the third thing we find is the inadequacy of our souls. We begin to feel, I don't know that I'm able to do this. And may I tell you that you're just about ready to come and sit in the very palm of his hand. You're now becoming pliable. And now he'll be able to do things in your life because you're not convinced you can go out there and do something great for God. But that you can go out there and God can do something great through you. Amen. And that'll remove a little pride from the church. Now, I asked Brother Glenn not to let me preach tonight. And I pray that what the Holy Ghost has said to you, that you take it to heart. Do you know why churches in America are not increasing? Simple. They're fishing in one another's ponds. If my brother here goes to the first anointed church on the corner and he gets mad at the preacher, he leaves. He has influence in the church. He leaves and goes to Sister Righteousness on the other corner. And so this church decreases, this church increases. But was it an increase? They just moved buildings. There are places in our own communities, in our backyard, in our surroundings, we can become missionaries right where we are. Amen. And I believe if all of us did what God is saying to us to do, we wouldn't have buildings big enough in the locale to put the people in. So we would have to go help our other brother in the other town and help him get started. And if everybody got the spin-off and help everybody else get started, we would have the competition of mega churches who are not bringing forth babies. They're just getting a bunch of dissatisfied and disqualified people under one roof and telling them how good they are. You know such a thing in the Bible as lying prophets. Y'all smile at me real big. Let me know you love me. Child of God, is it the truth or not?
Amen.
Say amen again.
Amen.
Now, every one of you are guilty because you agreed with what I said. Take it to heart. Bring it home with you. Ponder it in your heart. Check it out in the Scripture to see if those things be so or not. Don't take it for granted. Because somebody stands behind a wooden pulpit and talks to you about God, and everything they say is 100% God. And there was another ministry involved, those that mended nets. There's a good need in America for mending ministries. Not a committee to count how many good fish came out of that. Out of 153, can you imagine the deacon board going, this is good, this is not, this is good, this is not, this is good, this is not. And they all grade them and judge them to see if they look like them. Aren't you glad you're not in that net? So what I said to you tonight, you can be in the right place at the wrong time. And sometimes your wrong time is right. But wherever Jesus is, it's the right place. Close your Bibles, please. Nobody looking around? Somebody came here tonight, you have a... You had tremendous pain in the lower part of your back. And God wants me to tell you tonight that he was touching that back. You felt something warm in your back while the ministry was going on. If that was you tonight, can you raise your hand and testify that you received a healing from God? Somebody here tonight in your lower back. You had lower back pain when you came in here. And it left. One right here. Anybody else? Two people. Hallelujah. Somebody in here, you've been suffering from headaches, primarily migraine headaches. Amen. Anybody else? Would you come to the front, please? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Brother Chris, would you come help me pray, my brother? Brother Wade, help me pray. Doc, you still in here? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let's anoint this gentleman. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Father, we just praise you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that he is a vessel of honor. We rebuke these pains. We rebuke the stress and anxiety of his life. We come against migraine headaches. We command you now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You loose my brother. Let him go now. In the name of Jesus. Pain, bow your name to the name of Jesus. Let it go in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath and relax. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Father, we ask you for healing now. In the name of Jesus. I feel something. Feel a release. Feel a release. Good. Let it all out. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Back or headache?
Yes.
Headache. Amen.
No, God healed my back.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you tonight for our sister. Lord, we thank you that you're greater than any pain, any situation. And in the name of Jesus, we rebuke this pain. We thank you, Father, for your hand upon her right now. Hand of healing and restoration. In Jesus' name. Pain, leave her now. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Exhale. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There's been an area of your life where you've done some worrying and to where it's been excessive. God says, get it under control. That's it. I see in the spirit that there's an area of your life you're really concerned about. God says, not to worry about it. Get it under control. Amen? Is that speaking? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, brother. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Headache. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Shila baba baba kushara ba kando robo sundari era da ma shara ba tutoro era da ma kato robo sundari mi era da ma kato. Father, we thank you right now. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your healing virtues flowing through his body. In the precious name of Jesus of Nazareth, pain, leave now. In Jesus' name. Take a deep breath and exhale. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. How's he doing? Does he still hurt? Go ahead and pray for him, Brother Chris.
Hallelujah. Come.
Hallelujah.
Pray you put a barricade around his mind.
Yes, Lord.
Like a wall.
Thank you.
Sealed off and invaded him. Hallelujah. Any spirit. Go to the root, Father, to the ground.
Yes. Thank you.
And after the seal, this is a permanent relief.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. Mm-hmm. 6 o'clock. Jesus is going to be here with Brother Dr. Bill now. Hallelujah. And we'll be back tomorrow. Hope to see you then. Brother Chris is going to be ministering tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. So we pray that you have a peaceful, restful night's sleep. And that your travel will be careful. And that the angel of God will be encamped around you to guard you and protect you and to bring you home safely. And we bid you good night. God bless.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.